morning to Acts chapter 16. You have your notes there. Acts chapter number 16 this morning. As we'll look at the first five verses of chapter 16, the Bible says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them and decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Father, we come to you asking you for your blessing, asking you for your help as we look into your word. Pray that you'd speak to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen." I want to speak to you on a subject entitled, "For the Sake of the Gospel." For the sake of the gospel. If you'll recall, in chapter 15, it seems kind of contradictory in some ways. If you look in chapter 16, versus what we studied last week in chapter 15, it said that there was a certain disciple there named Timotheus, chapter 16, verse 1, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported. Look at verse 3. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. So he wanted Timothy to go along with him in his missionary journeys as he took the gospel to other people. And look what he did. And he took and circumcised him. He took and circumcised him. Now, that seems contradictory to what we learned last week, isn't it? Because there was a dissension in the church we talked about. And the dissension in the church was, do people have to be circumcised in order to be saved? And do they have to follow the law in order to be saved? I mean, there were some people who said, no, you don't have to follow the law in order to be saved. There were some people who said, yes, you have to follow the law. You have to be circumcised and follow the rest of the dietary laws and the ceremonial laws and all of that. You have to do that in order to be saved. So there was this dissension in the church. And so the dissension got so heated that the church of Antioch sent a band of people to Jerusalem to settle this dissension. And they went to Jerusalem and they had dissension there in Jerusalem. There were some that thought you should and some that thought you shouldn't. And so they began to examine everything through the eyes of the gospel. Remember? They examined the dissension through the eyes of the gospel and they came to the conclusion that no, you don't have to be circumcised and you don't have to keep the law in order to be saved. And I thank the Lord for that. Amen? Amen. That my salvation isn't up to me, that it's all up to Him. It's all up to what He did upon the cross of Calvary. Isn't that great? Amen. Praise the Lord. But then in chapter 16, we go right from chapter 15, after this dissension is settled, we go right into chapter 16, where this boy by the name of Timotheus, probably a teenager, Timotheus gets saved by the grace of God through his mother, who became a disciple. And he got saved, and apparently he got on fire for the Lord, and he surrendered his life to the Lord, and Paul said, hey, you're going to come with me on my missionary journeys, but first here's what we're going to do. We're going to circumcise you. Now, wait a minute. I thought we just talked about that and settled this whole issue, that circumcision really meant nothing because Jesus completed the law. Circumcision really doesn't mean anything. Circumcision doesn't separate me from the world unto God, does it? Not today. It did back in the Old Testament. There was a purpose for it. There was a design for it. It happened. They did it. And now we don't have to. We don't have to follow the law, all of the laws there given to us. But my confusion, if you were just reading this, you would say, man, I'm so confused. Why did they settle this dissension? They went through the Bible dedicated 41 verses, an entire chapter, to this whole dissension about circumcision and keeping of the law. And then in chapter 16, we go right from that to enforcing a circumcision upon a 16-year-old, or probably a 16-year-old, some sort of teenager, disciple of Christ. Why did he do that? Well, you're going to notice some differences here, and we're going to see that. And I'm just going to tell you here that it's for the gospel's sake. It was for the gospel. It wasn't for him to be saved. It wasn't for him to be redeemed or transformed into a son of God. It wasn't for that. It was that others might be saved. Look what the passage goes on to say. Verse 2, which was well reported that he was a Greek, that he is half Jew and half Greek. It was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. I want you to go with me on my missionary journeys, Timothy. And he took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep and that were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. So Paul was taking Timothy to the other churches that had already begun and to the brethren to explain the decision they made in Acts 15. That is, they don't have to be circumcised or keep the law. They just have to abstain from fornication and that which is given to idols. Right? That, and so right here in verse 4 it says they were going through these cities to deliver the decrees, to deliver the settlement of this dissension to the rest of the churches. So you're going to take Timothy to deliver these decrees to the other churches in the other cities. But before you deliver these decrees that they don't have to be circumcised and they don't have to keep the law, you're going to enforce circumcision upon Timotheus. Now, just from the outside looking in, that doesn't make sense. Except it wasn't for his salvation. And it didn't prove his spirituality. The Bible says that it was because of the Jews that were in those quarters. The Jews that lived there that were not converted. This circumcision had nothing to do with redemption. It had nothing to do with salvation. It had nothing to do with whether Timothy was going to heaven or hell. But it had everything to do with the fact that they were going to places where it would matter to those that had not yet accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. And no doubt Paul explained to Timothy, this matters. You don't have to do it to be saved. You don't have to do it to be a good Christian. You don't have to do it to be spiritual. But if we're going to win the Jews that live in these places to the Lord, it's going to be something that you're going to have to choose to do. In other words, Timothy, you don't have to do it to be saved. You don't have to do it for redemption. You don't have to do it to be spiritual. But you will have to do it for the gospel's sake. If you want the gospel to go forward in these places, you're going to have to do something that's not necessarily required of you. Anybody got an idea where this sermon's going right now?
Yes.
Because we are quick to claim our rights, aren't we? We are quick to say, I can say whatever I want. The First Amendment gives me that right. We're quick to say, I can bear arms because the Constitution says, I can do this and I can do this and I have a right as an American to do this and I have a right as a citizen to do this. And on we could go. Man, we could spend days and weeks claiming our rights, couldn't we? And boy, do we not ever spend conversational time on our rights and letting people know, I can do what I want. I'm an adult.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. We spend a lot of time saying, I'm going to do what I want, I'm going to say what I want, I'm going to live how I want because it's my life and I have the right to do it. And the truth is, God gave you a free will, so you do have a right. There are rights. You do have, I mean, in America, you can say whatever you want. You go to Iran, you might not be able to, but here you can say whatever you want. You can make the choices that you want for your life. You can live however you want to live. You can claim all the liberty you choose to claim. Because after all, God saved all of your sin, past, present, and future. So, hey, why not go out on Saturday and do what I want and then come to church on Sunday? I'm just simply saying people claim a lot of liberty even in Christ, not just in the Constitution here in America, but the liberty that they have in Christ. I can wear what I want. I can do what I want. I can say what I want. I can live how I want because it is my life. Well, I'm telling you something, that if you are saved here this morning, the Bible says that you were bought with a price. And that was the price of the blood of Jesus. Your life is not your own. It belongs to Jesus. Your life became Jesus when you asked Him into your heart and you believed upon Him to be your Savior. You made Him the Lord of your life when you made the decision to believe the gospel and be saved. But you can go on and you can claim all the liberty you want. And Timotheus could have said, I'm not going to be circumcised. I'm not going to follow the laws. You heard it from Jerusalem. They said I don't have to. And I'm going to establish my rights here, Paul. Yeah. And Paul would have said, then you can stay here. Yeah. Because I can't do the work. You can be saved. You can go to church. You can be a good member. You can be a spiritual person. But you cannot be the person I need on my missionary team to carry forth the gospel of Jesus Christ to other places in your current condition. He said, if you want to give your life to the Lord, what he's saying to Timothy is, you have to give up your rights.
Yes, sir.
Yes. You have to give up all claims to yourself.
Right.
Your desires, your wants.
Amen.
And you have to yield them and submit them to the Lord Jesus Christ and for the sake of the gospel. Paul comes to Timothy, you don't have to be circumcised in order to be saved. You don't have to do it in order to be redeemed. You don't have to do it in order to be spiritual. You don't have to do it in order to be a church member. But you do have to do it in order to join my missionary team, because it's well known that your father's a Greek, and it's going to matter that you're not circumcised to the people we're trying to reach. You're going to have to do this, Timothy, for the sake of the gospel. That's what he said. I want you to see, number one, this morning, there are times when we do things for the sake of the gospel. Not for you, not because you're required by Scripture, but you say, look, I have the right to do this, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to lay it here, right here at this altar. I'm going to give up my right to do this, because I want to see somebody saved. Now, in those days, the issue was circumcision. Today, it could be anything.
Right.
I mean, literally anything, right?
But
there are going to be times when, if we want the gospel of Jesus Christ to go forward into our communities, if we want to reach people for Jesus, we're going to have to stop saying, I have the right to. And we're going to have to start saying, I might be able to do whatever I want in this situation, but I'm going to lay this aside over here so that I can be more effective with this person to win them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that goes against our humanity. Because our humanity says it's about me.
Yep.
It's about my rights. It's about the way I want to do things. It's about my happiness and my joy. Right? And the problem with that is it exerts selfishness. Let me ask you a question. Would you, if you knew, let's just pick on a group of people, okay? Some of you aren't going to like it, because, and I'm just going to pick on you because it ain't me. And I'm the one doing the preaching. Let's say that you knew for a fact that if you gave up drinking coffee,
yeah,
a person you knew could be saved. Now that sounds silly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
and it probably is. But let's pretend for a moment, if you give up drinking coffee for the rest of your life, it would bring one person to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Would you make that one of those times you'd give something up for the sake of the gospel?
Yes. Yes.
Or would you say, well, there's nothing wrong with drinking coffee? You're right. It's not a sin to drink coffee, preacher. You're right. Even though my dad preached contradictory to that when I was a kid. In a joking way, okay? He used to say, I haven't drank coffee since I got saved. Actually, the truth is my dad never drank coffee. He never liked it. Just like me. I've drank coffee about 5 times in my life, and every time I went, because I hate coffee. Now, I can drink a Coke, but I hate coffee. Although I haven't had one since the 4th. I started my New Year's resolution on the 4th. Actually, it's not a resolution because I'm going to drink pop sometime this year. I just gave it up for a few months to get back on track. But my point is this. You can drink coffee. There's no sin against drinking coffee. Drinking coffee doesn't make you not spiritual. It doesn't... I know that's a double negative. Sorry, babe. It doesn't make you... It doesn't make you a bad church member or anything like that. Drinking coffee has nothing to do with salvation or your spirituality, does it?
No.
But if you could bring somebody to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ by saying, I won't drink coffee, would you do that?
Yeah.
Now see, if we started digging, we could find some really relational things in our culture that people look at that we are quick to claim our right to. For instance, you have the right to vote for whoever you want. You have the right to support any candidate you want. We live in America, it's a free country, right? But do you realize that sometimes there's people that come in these doors that sit down to hear the message and they do not agree with you politically and you don't know that? And the gospel is preached, but they heard you talking about supporting a certain candidate before church. And so you know what they did? They didn't want to be rude and leave the church because they got mad right then. But they sit on the back row and they close their ears and they listen nothing to the gospel because they heard you say something about a political candidate that they didn't like, that you were in support of. And hey, you have the right to support that candidate. You have the right to vote for that candidate. You have the right to be an American and exercise your free exercise of voting and telling people what you think and being active in the community to bring somebody over to your side in the political arena. But can I just have you pause for a moment? You might think everybody around you agrees with you, and they may, except for that one visitor that comes in that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, and because you said, I support so-and-so, or I'm glad so-and-so is in office, they went vroom to the gospel. And you, because of your political talk, just cost somebody potentially their journey. You say, well, that's silly, that's on them, and all that. No, 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 wait. Timothy didn't have to be circumcised. He had the free exercise to say, I'm not going to do that, Paul. It doesn't make me less spiritual. It doesn't make me not a Christian. It doesn't make me not a good church member. So I'm not going to do that, Paul. He had a right to do that. But Timothy said, Timothy and Paul, they talked about it and apparently they agreed. Timothy said, for the sake of the gospel, I'm going to do that which I'm not required to do so that someone can be saved. So you know what? I have political candidates I support. I land a certain way politically. But you know what? We probably ought to leave that on the other doors of the church.
Amen.
So that when visitors come in, they're coming in not to hear who you're voting for. They're coming in to hear something from God. And God has brought them to hear something from the Lord. So I'm just telling you, be cognizant of who is around you when you begin to talk about that type of subject. Now that's a real life cultural example, isn't it?
Yeah.
About something that can hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ, isn't it? It weighs in a whole lot heavier than coffee by a long mile, right? And everybody said,
amen.
All the coffee drinkers anyway. But I'm just telling you, there are times when we have to do things not because we're required to, not because it'll make us look spiritual or because it'll make us spiritual, not because it'll make us good church members, but because the gospel is at stake.
Yes.
And the gospel, friend, is more important than any of your rights. That you would stand up and defend. And I'll defend your right to say what you want to the First Amendment. Hey, you know what? I'll defend the right of someone that disagrees with me to be able to say what they want to say. There are a lot of people that say things that just utterly go against everything I believe in. And I want to just say, how can you even embrace that? But you know what? They have a right to say it. And I'll defend their right to say it, and I'll defend your right to say it. But if you're going to do things for the sake of the gospel, sometimes you just gotta keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
And let somebody come in here and get what they came here to get, a word from the Lord, not a word about your political candidate. And so now that you have a good example of what we're talking about in our culture, you can think of some times, you can think of some things, you have some particular experiences in your life where you know, I could have had more influence on certain person if I hadn't, and fill in the blank. If I hadn't done such and such. Now having done it was nothing wrong. You didn't sin. You weren't unspiritual for it. You weren't a bad church member for it. You just realize now there was nothing wrong with it. But because I did it or because I said it, I lost influence with someone to be able to carry forth the gospel. I can think of some times. Secondly, there are times when we defer our own will and desires for the sake of the gospel. Now this goes along the same line, but I want to XYZ. But if I defer it, if I defer my will, if I defer my desires, someone else can be saved. So what was the Church of Jerusalem saying? Hey, Church of Jerusalem said, hey, you don't have to keep the law and you don't have to be circumcised, but we would encourage you to abstain from meat offered to idols, and we would encourage you to abstain from fornication, and we would encourage you to abstain from eating blood. Right?
Right, right.
Now those weren't requirements for salvation. They weren't even requirements. Now, fornication would later be secured in the Scriptures very clearly. That's always been against God's plan,
yes,
from even the beginning, before the law was even written.
Right.
So fornication is wrong, and we can point to other New Testament Scriptures that tell us that's wrong. But as far as eating meat that was offered to idols or eating a blood, I mean, I know a lot of people that eat rare steaks.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of blood in that, right?
Okay,
so, but in that day, those are the things that mattered in the culture, that mattered to people. So he said, but even Paul said it's lawful for you, even Paul said in Corinthians that it's lawful for you to eat meat offered to idols.
Yeah.
He said it's lawful, there's nothing wrong with it, but he also says if your brother's offended by it, if my brother's offended by it, I'm not going to do it. What does he mean? He said, I am willing to do what it takes for the gospel to go forward, even if it means sacrificing my own desires and my own will. And so Paul was willing not only to do it for unsaved people, he was willing to do it to keep a good testimony and to keep his influence amongst those that had already been saved. So he was willing to take it a step further and say, not just for the sake of the gospel, but for the sake of the brethren, I'll defer. my own desires, my own will. So that others will listen when I speak of the word, even though they may disagree with me over here or over there. There's just times when we have to just say, you know what, I'm going to do something or not do something. I'm going to say something or not say something. I'm going to defer my own will and my own desires so that the gospel can move forward in my community and throughout the world. I'm telling you, it's one of the hardest things to do because in our humanity, we say, no, I'm not going to do that. Now look, I'm not talking about letting somebody run over you and control every aspect of your life. There's a time when you have to cut your losses and realize that it doesn't matter what you do, you're not going to please a person.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't matter what you do, you're not going to gain that influence with that person. But if you think that there's a chance for someone to be saved, if you'll change this or that, why don't you do it? I know it goes against, but I have the right. I know. But you know what your ultimate goal in life should be? To spread the gospel.
Amen.
So even if it's lawful, the Bible says there's a lot of the Bible. Paul tells us in Corinthians that all things are lawful, but there's things that are not expedient.
Yeah.
There are things that are not best. Yeah. They're lawful. For instance, my soda intake is lawful.
Yeah.
But it's not expedient, especially in high ounces, right? But it's expedient. I can drink it if I want to.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
But it might not be what's best for me. And so you might be able to do something, but it might not be what's best for a person who is lost and needs someone like you to have influence in their lives to bring them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's things that our church does as a church for the sake of the gospel, not because we're required to. We operate a bus route. Do you know there's nothing in the Bible that says you have to operate a bus?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Of course, I realize there were no cars when the Bible was written. But you know what I mean? Now, the Bible does say for us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. We are supposed to make sure that the gospel is heard to every person.
Right.
But how a church chooses to do that is their own will and vision, right?
Right.
So a church doesn't have to run a bus ministry in order to reach their community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They can choose to put their money and their time and their operational budget into something else. We choose to operate a bus route. It's not required of the law. We don't have to do that in order to win people to the Lord. But we do it for the sake of the gospel. Other churches may do something else for the sake of the gospel. That's okay too. But we operate a bus route. We might, as a people or as a church or as individuals, we might help our neighbors. Mowing the lawn for a neighbor without being asked and without requiring anything in return. Raking the leaves of an elderly lady's house during the fall to show love of Christ. Or shoveling the snow of someone in need. I had a guy, not this snow, but the snow before. He just went up. He had this big old snow blower. And he took the snow and blew it off everybody's driveway on the whole block. And all the driveway, did all the sidewalks and all the driveways down the whole block. No, he didn't have to do that. He was helping his neighbors. He didn't have to do that. Nothing required him to do that. And we could do something like that. I'm just simply saying these are some things that we do as a church or as a people. Show benevolence to others. Providing a Christmas for a needy person or family. Buying groceries for a struggling family. Providing a winter coat for a child whose parent can't afford one. These are things we do not because we have to.
Right.
Nothing in the Bible says you have to do these things. But we do them for the gospel's sake. For an opportunity to influence a person for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, this message comes down to this question. What are you willing to do for the sake of the gospel? Search your heart. Search your life. Look at your life. Look at the time that you spend on various things. Look at where you invest your time and your money and your energy and your talents. And ask yourself, am I doing something that is enabling the gospel to go forth? Is there something I could sacrifice, something I could defer, something I really want to do that I really would have a better time reaching people with the gospel if I didn't? The question is, what are you willing to do for the gospel's sake, for the sake of the gospel? What are you willing to do that's not required of you by Scripture to be saved, to be spiritual, to be a good church member, in order to bring people to the saving knowledge of the gospel? Is there something you can offer the Lord in your life that hasn't necessarily been required of you for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Acts 16, 1 through 5 is not in contradiction to Acts 15. For Timothy, circumcision had nothing to do with redemption, spirituality, or his position as a church member. It had everything to do with, I want to reach people for Jesus. Amen. And Timothy said, I'll do whatever it takes to go with you, Paul, and make a difference for the gospel. What are you willing to do for the sake of the gospel? Father, we thank you so much for your many blessings. Thank you for the opportunity to ourselves be saved, to have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, to have become Christians. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve your love or your grace or your mercy, but we're sure glad we got it. Amen. And God, we pray that you would reveal in us things that are not necessarily required of you, but things that each of us can examine and say, I could defer this, I could give this up, so that the gospel could be better presented, so that the gospel could be furthered. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would allow us to search our hearts and submit to you, and potentially just submit to someone else that's not even saved, so that we can reach them for Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.